Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. All right, we're full summer now. Olympics, a couple days away, right? Friday, the Olympics kick off. A couple of the finalists will be on their way out there shortly. Bucks are the NBA champions. NFL training camps getting ready to get underway or are getting underway. We got a lot to get to. Got good stuff, man. But I think let's react, obviously, to not the news of the day. News of the day is that report from the Houston Chronicle that OU and Texas have reached out about the possibility of joining the SEC. You got a denial from Oklahoma. You didn't from Texas, which to me, let me explain how it sounds to me, how it lands to me. Okay. I'm sure Texas is interesting, right? Here they are. They have all the resources in the world. They're at a resource advantage to everybody else in the Big 12. And since A&M and Missouri and Colorado and Nebraska left the conference, they've been unable to win the conference. And what happens, it happens with people, let alone schools or organizations, when you fail to live up to your preordained destiny or whatever, you blame people. You'll blame everybody else. Well, it must be the league. The league's holding. Like, the league's not holding back. Just win games. If you won the league and then didn't get into the college football playoff, it's a completely different story. You haven't won the league. So it feels like Texas not denying and the SEC not denying and USC, and Oklahoma denying means, to me, Texas reached out and said, like, hey, what if we brought Oklahoma with us? Huh? Huh? And they're like, interesting. Tell me more. Let's talk again about it. That's what it sounds like to me. All right. Let's welcome in Eddie House, of course, has joined us throughout the basketball season. He's an NBA champion. So too are the Milwaukee Bucks. Before we get to the bigger picture, in the smaller picture, biggest difference last night was what?
I think the biggest difference was obviously the obvious was Giannis, you know, being the best player on the court, Milwaukee having the best player on their team. But I think it was just the overall, the rebounding discrepancy. I think that's the one thing. And Pat Riley said it, and it rings true today. No rebounds, no rings. And that has been the Achilles heel for the Phoenix Suns that whole series, was the fact that they could not get that rebound when they needed to get a rebound. You close out a possession with a rebound, and more than not, they were giving up an offensive rebound, or they couldn't get an offensive rebound. And to me, that was the glaring thing, that they had the ability to score to make shots, but then they didn't because Milwaukee's defense showed up and will close out their possessions, but they just couldn't get a rebound when they needed to get it.
Eddie House joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Is Giannis the best player in the NBA?
Stop it. No. Let's not. I think that we could all overreact and be, you know, what everybody say, quote unquote, prisoners of the moment, and say, yeah, right now, for what we can say, that he played in the finals and he was the best player on his team that won the finals, if that's what you want to anoint being the best player, I think you have to have an overreaction to that. Andre Iguodala was a finals MVP, and I don't think he was the best player in the league. Kawhi Leonard, at the time that he was the finals MVP, I don't think he was the best player in the league. So Giannis, is he up there? Yeah, I think he has a very unique skill set. He puts people in positions to where it's hard to guard him if you don't have a wall to keep him out of the paint, and that's extremely hard to do. But I still think Kevin Durant, I still think that LeBron James, I still think those guys are the best players in the league. you know, just off of this, the performance was amazing. But I can't anoint Giannis as being the best player in the league. I can't do that right now. Not a guy that can't make he made his free throws, but not a guy that can't make a consistent 15, 17-foot jump shot.
No, I agree with you. It's like, look, we saw Kevin Durant against Giannis in a series, and it wasn't really close in terms of who the best player was. Like, I get that when you play that well in a game six and people, but like, it wasn't like we saw him in different conferences. We saw him against each other, and it wasn't really close. I don't know how others, how we're completely changing what was an outcome and an obvious outcome between the two players.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, we get locked into the moment and seeing what it was. It was a fantastic performance. I think a fantastic finals, a fantastic playoff run. Getting his knee injured, not knowing if he would be able to play and be able to come back and play the way he did and average the numbers he did and go down to history as a champion, but also as one of the only players besides Michael Jordan to be Defensive Player of the Year, the MVP, Finals MVP, to do those type of things. To me, you know, you got to tip your cap to him. But really, reality, if you are a hoop head and a hoop purist, you understand that there are still holes in his game. And just think about this, Doug. Imagine if he had a 15-foot jump shot that was wet. He might have had 70 last night.
Oh, no question. No question. And part of it is the matchup with the Suns. They just didn't have anybody who could match up with them, whereas other teams did. They were just fortunate they didn't run into those teams.
Yeah, and I think the game – I got to give Coach Budenholzer a ton of credit for the way that he started reading the way they were playing, that Phoenix was playing Giannis. You know, early on it was baseline action. They were working that. But when DeAndre Ayton was on him, I countless times that when Giannis caught the ball up top, DeAndre Ayton was almost at the smile line, below the dotted line, and Giannis could just come down with a head of steam. And, I mean, I think he's unstoppable when he gets downhill that way with his length and his ability. It was just a real mismatch, and it's a tough one to say, hey, DeAndre Ayton, I need you to stop Giannis. I think that should have been a concerted team effort and a focus of the Phoenix Suns. If they wanted to win that series, that it has to be a team effort. And we're not asking DeAndre Ayton to stop Giannis because it's just virtually impossible.
Yeah, it is interesting, though, that Bud has been accused of and guilty of not making enough or maybe even any adjustments at times. Whereas Monty, who we all love, felt like there wasn't a moment where like, hey, let's crowd Giannis, right? Let's get that ball out of his hands. Let's make somebody else beat us. It didn't feel like there were the adjustments made from the Phoenix side.
No, I don't think there was. And if, you know, in the mix of the game and in the battle, it's hard. You know, hindsight is 20/20. We could always go back and reflect. But when you have game and game and you see where somebody is hurting you, I think that there should have been some sort of adjustment on the Phoenix end to try to figure a way to stop Giannis. I mean, I think Toronto had the blueprint. You know, they said, hey, we're going to create a wall. We are not going to allow him to get in the paint. We don't care. If we get beat from the outside, we can live with that. And that might be the recipe, but when teams are knocking down shots, you know, Connington hit some shots here and there. You have Bobby Portis came in and played amazing. Also, you know, Middleton is able to do what he does. It's hard for teams to stick to that, you know, especially in the moment. You're like, oh, that doesn't work. Let's try something else, and let's try something else. I think you have to be stubborn with your game plan, especially against Giannis. You have to be stubborn against your game plan and say, hey, we're not allowing him to beat us in the paint, because really that was he was the factor. He was the determining factor of that game. Middleton hit some late shots, but at the same time, it was Giannis dominating that game and basically dominating the series.
Awesome stuff. Eddie House joining us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, Chris Paul, what should he do next? He has basically three choices. One is to, well, one more year left, big money in his contract. Two, opt out, which most guys do, right, to get 3 years instead of one. But opt out and stay or opt out and move, what do you think he should do?
Well, I look at it this way. You know, we all know Chris Paul's not hurt for money. but $40 million is a lot of money to leave on the table. If you're, and I'm not sure if there's a team out there willing to give him 3 years. And there's no slight against, you just got to think that he'll be 39 in the final year of that contract. You know, he's not the most athletic guy. He's not the biggest guy. You know, one of the smartest guys and one of the best point guards to ever play the game on both ends, offensive and defensive point guards. I just think that it's hard for me to see a team giving him 3 years. He might get it. You know, he might as well get it. You know, he might get it just on reputation alone and what he's done in this finals, because I think he's played well in this playoff run. But 2 years is what I think a team would be willing to actually give him for what he's looking for. But $40 million to turn it down and just say, hey, I'm going to turn my nose up to that and I don't want that. It better be a good 2 year deal on the back end, or a great 3 year deal that he has over there that he's able to move to. I just think that you might want to run it back. You know, you might want to see if this is something that, you know, you found a home, you got a young core that believes in you. Is this an opportunity for you to do something special and kind of, you know, he's been everywhere. You know, he's been with the Clippers. He's been with OKC and he's been with Houston, but this will be the defining team that people will say, hey man, that was where Chris Paul was his greatest and he had his best opportunity to win a championship. So I think maybe, you know, staying here will be the best option. You got young players around you.
What do you think? Who do you think the Lakers should add?
Whew, man, it's tough. You know, because LeBron's going to dominate the ball at times. So it's almost you got to get a guy that doesn't need the ball in his hands. It's tough to think that. I mean, it'd be good to see him and his friend, you know, Chris Paul and all that come together. But at the same time,
I'm not sure they actually fit.
Yeah, that's what I was just getting ready to say. At the same time, I'm not sure, because Chris Paul needs the ball in his hands to be who he is, and LeBron needs the ball in his hands to be who he is. So it might bump and clash a little bit, especially late in their careers, as both of them are. I think we talk about the Dame Dollar thing, right? And I think Dame Lillard makes a lot of sense on the fact that LeBron wouldn't have to dominate the ball as much, and he has a younger player. You know, Chris Paul, we've seen it this series that he kind of got wore down, you know, with Drew Holiday picking him up, P.J. Tucker being physical and picking him up. I feel it wore on him, and that's no slight to Chris Paul at all. It's just, you know, the nature of life, of playing in the league for so long. And so I think that, you know, getting a younger player that has young legs, that's able to take maybe some minutes away from LeBron, so LeBron doesn't have to dominate the ball but still be able to score. He could play on the wing. Dame looks like a really, really nice fit for the Lakers.
I can't see Portland. I can't see Portland doing that, right?
I can't see him doing it either. But that, to me, that's like their best fit. I don't know what else. Where would you go? Let me ask you that question.
I don't know. I mean, like, I like a Klay Thompson type. I just don't know who the Klay Thompson type is out there, right? Like, that's the one. I don't know if they can get a Buddy Hield or whatever, but a Klay Thompson, somebody who can space, can play multiple positions defensively. I'm not really sure. Last thing, Giannis went to Chick-fil-A today. And joked about getting a 50 piece, which is awesome, right?
Not 49, not 51, but a 50 piece, right?
50 piece. But his drink was half Sprite, half lemonade, no ice. That sounds like Mountain Dew, by the way, to me, which makes Dan Beyer very happy. You get one non-alcoholic beverage order. What's your non-alcoholic beverage order?
Because I really don't drink soda, man, to be honest
with
you.
Yeah,
I don't
so
drink
what is
soda
it?
At all.
Do you ever do an Arnold Palmer?
Arnold Palmer's or A1. So I was almost thinking that when you said half Sprite, half lemon. I'm like, it's almost an Arnold Palmer, but the tea is not there. So I will roll with the Arnold Palmer because I really I'm a big fan of that. I drink that a lot on the golf course, to be honest with you.
I do too. Try a little passion tea with the Arnold Palmer instead of the regular tea. I'd encourage it. All right, get out to the golf course. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk soon.
All right, take care, man. Thanks for having me.
Eddie House, great dude, good analyst and a great player in his own right. Dan Beyer, have you tried the half Sprite, half lemonade, no ice? You're a Mountain Dew guy. That feels a little Mountain Dewy.
Yeah, no, I have not. I didn't even realize it was a combo before Giannis.
I didn't either. That was the first time I was like, he said half lemonade, my ears perked, and he's like, half Sprite, and then he said no ice. I'm like, that sounds terrible.
I have done it at Popeyes. I've done the sweet tea and then thrown a little lemonade in there to make that Arnold Palmer that you guys were just talking about. I've done that.
You know, it's funny. My old producer's got him, Adam Klug. Kluger runs a station in San Diego. He has this saying. He says that plain tea exists in this universe for only one reason. You know what that reason is?
What's that?
To be sweetened.
Fair enough. Agreed.
It's like, you ever heard somebody say, yeah, do you want iced tea? You want unsweetened iced tea? Like, yes. Like, ugh. Throw a little lemonade in there, and it's the world's greatest drink. It's the world's greatest drink. Yeah, my new jam is I make the tea at home for myself. I save a ton of money on it, right? Because you don't, but I will do the Lipton cold brew tea stuff as well. I have that. But I've done the Tazo passion tea, like, you know, you can order passion tea in Starbucks, whatever. Tazo passion tea, which is not caffeinated, but really kind of fruity and flavorful. Mix in some lemonade in that. That's my new jam.
Delicious. I have a bottle of unsweetened tea in our fridge that's been there for 4 months.
Yeah.
To your point, it just sits there.
Right? It just sits there. You're like looking sad. Like, hey, you want in on this? You got to get sweeter than that. That's really what it is, right? You want in on this? You're looking the tea right in the eye. Or right at the bottle cap, and it's sitting there looking sad in your refrigerator. You're like, you gotta make friends with lemonade. You gotta make friends with lemonade. That's really what's gotta happen. Ramos, you ever done that? Half Sprite, half lemonade.
I have not, but I do like Arnold Palmer's, and I do like lemonade, and I do like iced tea. So all of
do
those,
you like Sprite?
I do like Sprite. Yes,
Sprite feels like, who is it? Was it a ginger ale salesman who came up with the, if you have a bad stomach?
Yes.
That has to be like a ginger ale. That has to be like somebody, like, no, the doctor told me if your stomach's upset, drink ginger ale. Like, what would?
We have ginger ale here at the network in the hallway, and my stomach was upset, not recently, but a while, long, maybe 2 years ago.
And
I did drink it, and it felt better.
Okay. The magic of ginger ale. Giannis gave us a historic performance last night. But was it the greatest closeout game of all time? We'll discuss next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, Milwaukee fans, I'm so sad I upset you. Look, just because you got dum-dum talk on many radio stations, many TV stations that see something and go, the greatest ever. Like, okay, fine. If that's what you want, if that's, you know, he had the greatest closeout game ever. No, he didn't. First of all, the 50 points he had last night, they fouled him because he couldn't make free throws the entire series, and he did make them last night. Like, he was, and look, you're listening to a guy who became a pathetic free throw shooter, just like Giannis became a pathetic free throw shooter. I can absolutely speak to that. The idea that, like, well, he proved everybody wrong. Like, I don't know. The first five games, he kind of proved everybody right. Like, I don't know why people don't allow for honest conversations to be had. Maybe it's because you listen to the political pundit idiots that tell you things that are completely false. Like, I was intrigued. Did you guys see the Rand Paul Fauci back and forth thing last night? It was in front of Congress when Fauci was, and Rand Paul is completely manipulating what are provable facts, right? You know, he's, well, this happened, and I'm not, and so it led to 4 million people dying, and Fauci's like, yeah, that's actually a lie. You're combining two things which contradict each other and making them into, but that's what people who grandstand on TV do. You're just easily manipulated. And that's okay. But you're not going to convince me of somebody who, like, I'm sorry. Like, Giannis was outstanding last night. He really was. It really was. But this whole, like, well, he proved everybody wrong. Did he? Really? Tully? You know? He shot 36% from the free throw line in game five. He was 50% from the free throw line in game four. So, yeah, if, I mean, and I heard one idiot on the radio be like, Chris Paul was in game five, dumbest foul of all time. What are you talking about? The only hope they had when they turned the ball over down one was to foul Giannis. He just happened to foul him when he was 15 feet above the earth and dunking the basketball. It still didn't hurt him because he missed the free throw. They just didn't box out. But this whole, like, it's the best closing game. I was like, what? Michael Jordan had 45 on the road in Utah. It wasn't just he had 45. It wasn't just he had 45. He had two free throws, a bucket, a steal against the league's MVP. He stole the basketball. Then he cleared out, went one-on-one, and hit what became the game-winning shot in his last game in a Bulls uniform. If you want to tell me a lot of things that you think you know more than me, if you want to try and convince me that what Giannis did last night, which was a great game, and 50 in a closeout game is awesome, you want to convince me that that's better than what Jordan did, you're arguing with somebody who's just going to sit there and go, and in the back of my mind going, like, you're one of two things. You're either a complete idiot or you're so much a prisoner of the moment, you can't get out of your own way. Like, look, here's what happens, okay? Here's what happens. In sports media, they do to you the same thing they do in political media, where I'll take LeBron. When people were crushing LeBron earlier in his career, like after Miami, when he went to Cleveland, they were still crushing him or whatever, and people saying he still choked against Dallas, whatever. I was defending LeBron. Now, because I don't believe LeBron is the best player ever, and I'll be honest with you, if, again, his prime has been way longer than Jordan, longer than Magic, longer than Bird, Magic because of HIV, Bird because of injuries, and Jordan simply because he took a year off for baseball and he went to 3 years of college. But his prime has been longer than those guys. But if I was to be honest with you, you said, hey, one, the best season, who would you rather have? I would rather have Magic and Bird than I would LeBron. That's me personally. And then Jordan, I think, is the best. That's in modern era basketball. But somehow that makes you like a LeBron hater. Okay? I'm not a LeBron hater. I just, that's my opinion. I think he's a great, great player. And he's good for the game of basketball for the most part. But what's interesting is, like, if you want to say that's the greatest closing game of all time, like, I don't know, I just gave you Jordan, and then I would give you a LeBron James against the Spurs. Do you know what happened in game seven? Right? You familiar with what happened in game seven? The game six was Ray Allen saves them, hits a three in the corner. Game seven, LeBron James had 37 points. Okay? And everybody was just exhausted. 37, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. They beat the Spurs to win a championship. If you think that because of, like, we can't do the, if we do the thing because of the point total, okay. All right. He was going against Kawhi Leonard, Hall of Famer, Tim Duncan, Hall of Famer, Tony Parker, Hall of Famer, Monta Ginobili, Hall of Famer. And he had a great team in his own right. Bosch, Ray Allen, who, by the way, sucked in Game 7. People forget Ray Allen barely played in Game 7. But if you want to tell me that this is the best closeout game ever, like, okay, obviously Magic Game 7 is rookie year in the NBA Finals, but most people didn't even watch that game. So I think it's just disingenuous of people to say, like, that's the greatest closeout game I've ever seen. Really? That's the greatest closeout game you ever see? Okay. Like if I was to go back and be completely honest and look at things and go like, okay, what about when, you know, what about when the Cavs beat the Warriors in what was a closeout game? What about that one? What happened there? What would be the final story of that game? That's a closeout game, right? By definition? Okay. Well, if that's a closeout game by definition, then didn't Kyrie Irving play better? I don't know.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. All right, Beyer, you're a Bucks fan. You're a Bucks fan. Do you believe Giannis is the best player in the NBA?
There we are. No.
But last night was great.
Yes, correct. Yeah,
right. These two things can happen. Like, you can go like Giannis in a huge, like, and look, that was a huge moment. They needed somebody to go and win the game for him. And he won the game for him. Right. And you can say like he was amazing and he's awesome and he's not yet reached his potential. And there's a lot of good things. And then go like, okay, like I heard Cowherd, like it's his league. Like, what are you talking about? Like, the Nets were way better than they were. Just Kyrie sure. got hurt. So, I mean, we just get so disingenuous with takes at times.
Yeah, but I would say that when you're talking about who's the best player in the league right now, it's either Giannis, Durant, and maybe LeBron, an aging LeBron, if you were to make that conversation.
I guess Kawhi because the knee? Is that we're not going to throw Kawhi?
Yeah,
in?
Like, okay,
Kawhi was
okay,
incredible.
Kawhi.
Kawhi was incredible in the playoffs.
Sure.
Incredible in the playoffs.
But you also have to realize on how much people have ripped apart Giannis's game. I mean, we're 3 weeks removed from people saying that he wasn't even the best player on his team.
But I didn't say
you know.
That.
No, I didn't say you did, but that's
well,
what,
there's lots of like, people who talk on radio and TV
sure,
that are not very smart.
Sure.
Or they say things for, like, I never said that.
Sure.
Okay? Now, he's different. He's this actually helps make my point about LeBron and the reality of LeBron, which is these guys that are 6'8 to 6'10 who can handle the ball and they're good but not great shooters. The way everybody thinks that this league has gone to being all three-point shooting, but because there's no more power forwards, and these are basically power forwards that handle the basketball, they're able to play bully ball, right? Like LeBron played bully ball for a long time. He's always been a better shooter than Giannis, but it's the same thing. Now, I think Giannis is more effective at the five defensively and at the rim, blocking shots kind of the traditional way, right? And one of the big plays of this series was Giannis blocking DeAndre Ayton on the alley-oop. But it actually kind of makes the point, which is the rules of the game and the way the game is played doesn't just help shooters. It actually helps guys like LeBron and guys like Giannis.
Yeah. I look at what last night did, and I think that he cleared so many hurdles that, and I'm not saying you, I'm just saying that people said that he couldn't do.
Sure.
Couldn't hit free throws, wasn't clutch late in games, where was he in the big games, how far could you advance in the playoffs, and he did all of, like, you know, the 50 points, to get to that mark, first of all, I'm glad that he had the opportunity with the free throw at the end to get to 50, because 50 sounds a lot better than 49. When you could say I put 50 up in the clincher,
sure,
that's a big deal. But I just think of all the hurdles that he passed last night in some fast track. I compare it to Super Bowls, Doug. Whenever there's now a close Super Bowl, and you and I have talked about the era we grew up in on what Super Bowls were, we immediately want to put any close Super Bowl as, man, that was the greatest.
That's the greatest Super Bowl ever.
Yeah, then
will say Patriots Falcons there's never been a comeback like that in Super Bowl history, right? Like, there's literally never. Does that make it the greatest game ever? Like, no. Okay, but it was an unbelievable, unbelievable comeback.
Yeah, for sure. And you could go to the next year when the Eagles and Patriots, like, that was a great Super Bowl when, what, New England
two great
punt.
Offenses.
Yeah,
New England
yeah.
punt and lost the game.
But if you like defense, you're like, okay, that wasn't that great. If you are just saying, well, maybe it was a great comeback by New England instead of maybe an overall game for what it was. A lot there. His performance last night wasn't necessarily a pretty game. It was just Giannis trying to do what he could to propel his team, because he didn't get a lot of help from other guys. So there's, I think he answered a lot of questions last night. I would put Kawhi, now that you mentioned it, and I just left him out just because I forgot. But I'd put Durant there. And then just the aging LeBron is just the question mark. But I don't think you can put anybody that's close to him. And I think other people.
You wouldn't put Steph. You wouldn't put Jokic. You wouldn't put Luka.
No, I definitely not Luka or Jokic.
I actually think if you asked NBA people, like, who would you rather build around for the next 10 years? Giannis or Luka, I would think there'll be more people say Luka than Jokic. I mean than Giannis. Excuse me. I'd be interested. That's one I got to ask a couple of NBA people, because people love Luka. Like, Luka is described by NBA people as a generational talent, and that's interesting because his team hasn't gotten out of the first round yet, right?
So, yeah, and he's a guard.
I mean, 6'7", 6'8". I mean,
yeah, but Giannis
is a guard, too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
He's just a guard who can't shoot and can block shots and defend the rim.
I think that there's the infatuation of backcourt guys that can shoot the basketball.
But what is Giannis?
He's a guy who just... I wouldn't say he's a backcourt guy that can shoot the basketball.
No, but he's a backcourt. No. I mean, he brings the ball up the floor.
I mean, you want to call him a point forward, then?
Yes.
Would that be?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think then there's still a difference. I mean, he's 7 feet. Yeah, you know.
No,
I mean,
it's crazy. You know. It's crazy. You know, the transformation of, and look, that's a little bit of where, you know, I have to change in my eval of guys, which is, like, as good as Chris Paul is, he's at just a size disadvantage. It's really hard to be a 6 foot guard and be super successful at the top level of the NBA.
I will also say this, like with the Luka and stuff, like what Giannis does defensively as well.
Sure.
I mean,
huge.
Yeah.
Can't be diminished.
Is absolutely huge. But he went up another level last night.
He went to 11.
Well, he was in that conversation of Harden and Westbrook because they were MVPs. That their teams could only go so far, or they wouldn't go as, you know, get their teams to the NBA finals. They would rack up stats in the regular season, but when it came to the postseason, that was the group that he was in up until last night. And last night he left that group for a better room.
Last night was a night in which he separated himself. I would also point out that, if we're being fair, it's a lot like LeBron's first title where he faced a team that you were surprised was there, right? Remember when LeBron won his first NBA mm-hmm. title, it was against the Thunder, and the Thunder were kind of surprised to be there. San Antonio and the Lakers were actually the two better teams in the West.
You know, you mentioned LeBron. I felt that this finals was kind of like LeBron against the Pistons in 07. When we were waiting, and then he ended up taking over the overtime and scoring the final 25 points to win that game five. But that was the time where we always wanted LeBron to be that guy, and then he broke through. And, yeah, they got swept in the finals by the Spurs, but that was him arriving on the scene, and then that was like the first step, and then he took off. This was in the NBA finals, but now you just wonder what is next for Giannis. And the one thing that he did say on the podium, he said, you know, even if alluding to that, he would appreciate this and would be happy with this even if he never got to sit at that table again, which I don't necessarily believe is true. I think that's what you say after you've finally, you know, cleared the mountaintop. But now it's going to be on him to try to add to that. Those are the expectations for him.
Great stuff. Dan Beyer joining us, of course. You'll hear from him in a second as we'll get to the press. All the stories you need, including an NFL star is about to get paid. Who is it and how much? We'll discuss next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast. Every day at this time, the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio, we get you all the stories of the day in what we call the press.
The press.
Dan Beyer, go.
Doug, the big news of the day, you touched on it earlier, but the Houston Chronicle says Texas and Oklahoma reached out to the SEC about joining the league and forming a 16-school super conference.
It's over, Johnny.
This is what I believe took place and will continue to take place. Texas, the grant of rights expires in 2025. Okay, that means that Texas surrendered all their TV rights to the Big 12 until 2025. Texas will be a free agent then. And or they view it as free agency then. And this is just trying to drum up some interest to maybe get a better deal with the Big 12 or maybe go independent or maybe make a move. It's no different than if Dan Beyer did this for his last contract, right? He floated out there to all the biggies. They all came calling with big money offers. And that's why he poops money. That's really why. Dan Beyer did this. He drove up. It's called leverage, kids. That's what they're doing.
That's exactly what happens. Another college football note, Washington State head football coach Nick Rolovich says he will participate remotely in Pac-12 media days because the event requires all attendees to be vaccinated. Rolovich says he has not gotten the COVID vaccine, adding the reasons behind that decision will be kept private.
I can't follow up with it, coach. Why haven't you gotten it? I have some health concerns, like, right? That's a weird one. It's got to be health concerns.
It's got to be.
Got to be.
Which
I don't think is anything not worth sharing. I mean, I guess it is private. It's your own business if there's a health concern, but that would be my coach role of it, right?
Yeah. We think. Who knows? Cowboys owner Jerry Jones opening training camp in Oxnard, California today. And he looked back on the career of Jimmy Johnson, his former head coach, and told the story to reporters how Barry Switzer, before taking the Cowboys job, wanted to get Jerry and Jimmy in a room together. This was Jerry Jones earlier.
Barry came down from Norman, Oklahoma to talk about getting the job. And he comes in and he said, "Where's Jimmy?" And I said, "Jimmy's gone." He said, "Well, that's not right. Get him in here." I said, "Barry, Jimmy's gone. We're sitting here talking about you being the coach." I said, "What in the world are you so anxious to talk to Jimmy about?" He said, "I just wanted to get both you little on this couch and ask you both, how could you this up?" That was Switzer.
Do you think you could answer Barry's question now?
I've never been able to know why I it up.
Settle down just a little bit.
I think that's great. I mean, it's real. Like, they just, you know, because remember at the time, Jerry had done an amazing job. Just two, you know, there can only be one head chef in the kitchen, I guess is the thing. And it's unfortunate because, man, were they good.
I like how John Ramos completely ruined it by adding another Jerry Jones cut after the 37 cuts to totally confuse the audience just so he could get a Jerry Jones drop in there. Magnificent. 49ers gave linebacker Fred Warner a 5-year extension worth $95 million, Doug. But that's good news to Fred Warner, to the Niners, and to Darius Leonard, as ESPN says the Colts linebacker is likely working on a deal to surpass what Warner is making.
Yeah, so, you know, cut out the newspaper clippings for the highest paid guy, and then the next day you're not.
Yeah. That's basically what's going down. Finally, Doug, note from the NBA. Ringer says five teams interested in Trailblazers guard Damian Lillard, with the Sixers, Heat, Knicks, Rockets, and Kings all reaching out, making offers for the Portland point guard.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the problem of where Damian Lillard is the team that's going to give the best offer to the Trailblazers is not going to be a championship-caliber team. So it's like you want to move. Okay, understand that you might not move to a better franchise and a better city.
Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
starting to come around on a little bit of the Olympics, starting to get a little bit. But let me just end the show with this. I'm not trying to diminish that Giannis Antetokounmpo had 50 points to win an NBA championship. That's amazing. Okay? But you also, just like when Chris Paul had 41 in game one, and I said, like, hey, let's take a breath. it was against a team that's clearly exhausted and he was fresh and rested. It's game one. Let's have the perspective here. It's not against the, it was a bad matchup for the Suns specifically because they didn't have anybody to guard Giannis. And last night he hit his free throws, and this is what happens. Congrats to the champs. Now the hard part starts. This is Doug Gottlieb Show.